what I'm saying? So we're going to just take a few moments in the Word tonight, and we'll shorten up on the service. Thank you, Esther and Bobby and Brother Mark and everybody, Brother Burt, for understanding that. Sweetheart, wherever you are, take your Bible and turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Now, I don't know if this is going to work, Brother Perry. It fell apart on me, and I put it back together. Is this on? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Okay, good. It was in four pieces in my hand up here, and I was trying to put it together. Because when Brother Juan grabbed a hold of me, man, he shook every part of my body, and the whole thing fell on the ground. And I love you, brother. Isaiah chapter 43. In verse number 1 we read, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled, who among them can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." Father God, I pray that you would bless in these few moments how our hearts have been stirred tonight already. And Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, we would rejoice in the God who alone is our Savior for his wonderful work in the hearts of his children here. And this I pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I want to bring you a very short message, I trust, tonight titled, "Thou Art Mine." Thou art mine. As we have read, God is dealing with the people of Israel, and what we have read tonight is a prophetic portion of Scripture that God gave to Isaiah, a prophecy that is being fulfilled. For God is calling the people of Israel from every quarter of the earth together to Israel. And over the years, we have seen God calling people back, and from nations where they were held captive, now the Jews are returning to the land of their origin. That was something that God said would take place, and in fact is taking place. All of the things that the Lord has said would happen will happen. And many of them are indicators that the return of the Lord is very soon. What we're seeing happening in Israel now is just a further step towards the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that even a casual student of the Word and observer of current events would have to come to that very same conclusion. But tonight I don't want to give you a prophetic message per se, because I think there are principles here that we can relate to and identify with in our own Christian life. The Lord said, "Thou art mine," to his people Israel. But I want you to notice that in verse 1, as he spoke to them, he said, "Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob." If you understand the meaning of the word and the name Jacob, you realize that Jacob means deceiver or supplanter. That is not a wonderful name to have. I don't think that too many people today want to name their children after someone like Adolf Hitler. They don't want to name their children after somebody like Osama bin Laden. We think that's a terrible thing to name a child. And I believe it would be a terrible thing if we really ascribe the meaning of the name Jacob to someone, meaning a deceitful person. But that is exactly how the Lord addressed the people of Israel, because before Israel was Israel, he was Jacob, or supplanter, deceiver, who stole the birthright by deceitful means. And before we can have any relationship with God, we must come to the place where we acknowledge the deceitfulness of our heart and we humble ourselves before Almighty God, recognizing that we are not worthy of the least of His favor. And any kindness that He shows us is only because of His grace. And the Lord, by addressing them, O Jacob, is reminding them of the fact that He has bestowed His grace upon them, totally unmerited and undeserved. And then He says, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, deceitful one, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. The Lord claimed them for His own. And though they were an adulterous nation that went a whoring after other gods and involved themselves in great whoredoms against their God, the Lord set His affections upon them. And I want us to see quickly tonight four thoughts from this passage of Scripture that relate to each of us. First, I want you to understand this, that what the Lord was saying to Israel, we must all take into our heart as well. Though there are prophetic implications here for them, there is a principle that applies to every one of us. We understand that all of the Bible was not written to us, but all of the Bible is written for us. And as we read and interpret the Word of God, we bear that in our minds and in our hearts so that we can rightly divide the Word of truth. But would you tonight focus on, first of all, He who is powerful. He who is powerful. Because here the Lord God has redeemed adulterous, deceitful Israel. Those that were called Jacob, He changed their name from deceiver to prince with God. And He could only accomplish that by His own power. There was nothing that Israel could do in and of themselves to change their condition. It was only by the power of God that He redeemed them and transformed them from deceitful ones to princes with God, the very apple of His eye, the chosen people of God. It comes by the One who is powerful. And I'm here tonight to say that there is not one man, woman, boy, or girl in this auditorium that has the power to change themselves. Brother Bill, you shared your testimony. Nobody has the power to change themselves. God alone can transform a life, and He does it from the inside out. We can't, through fleshly means, through 12 steps and through disciplinary programs and through all kinds of accountability systems and strict discipline, try to become the person that God wants us to be. We're not that strong. The Bible says that our flesh is weak, and they that are in the flesh cannot please God, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8. And so we need a God that is greater than we are to do what we could never do, to change and transform us from deceitful ones into princes with God. And in fact, the Bible declares that we are kings and priests with Him, and we will rule and reign. I'm telling you tonight, that was not possible by the effort of man. It is only possible through He who is powerful. And He reminds them of His power because He said that I am the Lord that created thee, and I formed thee, and I redeemed thee. Would you focus tonight upon the One who is powerful? Brother Joe stood up here tonight and said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And truly, that must be our focus. He who is powerful. I don't know the situation that you find yourself in. Brother Lee came home to a wife in intensive care, and Brother Juan came home to discover that he had a malady with his eye and a scratched cornea that he sustained, and now has a patch over his eye, and probably have to be to the doctors this week and things. And others came home to air conditioning systems not functioning, and others came home to difficult straits in their lives, and they recognized the frailty of their own flesh to affect a change in any situation, and they throw their hands up and they look heavenward and they say, I need a God that is greater than my circumstances. I need a God that is greater than my ability to try to control and manage my circumstances, because the more we try to work them out, the more we mess them up. We need God. And so tonight, we must, like Israel, focus on the one who alone is able to untangle the web that we have woven through deceit and sin, and make us a prince with God, and deliver us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus Christ, the very kingdom of love and light. And once He who is powerful has performed a transformation in our life, then we see this. In verse 2, He said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And certainly the prophet Isaiah is reminding them of the times when God delivered them from Egypt, and they passed through the very waters of the Red Sea. They passed through the very waters of the Jordan River. And the waters at fledged stages at Kadesh Barnea did not overflow them. You see, God gave them a promise. And secondly, tonight we see those who are protected. Those who are protected. We focus in upon He who is powerful, but we recognize that we are those who are protected. Because God has chosen us. He's called us by name. He said, thou art mine. And the one who said, thou art mine, has made a commitment to us that He will go before us and protect us. Now, I tell you what, my daughters today got on an airplane, and there was a few tears being shed, and I realized that things would now be different forever. Rachel was trying to instruct her sister Sarah how to navigate through the airports, because she said, sis, next time you're going to have to take Rebecca all by yourself. And I'm not going to be here to help you. And so you need to watch. And she said, when we go in, I want you to look at the board and find out what gate we go to. And I want you to lead Sarah like as if I'm not even here and I'm going to follow behind. And they recognized that big sister was not going to be there anymore to look over them, and they cried because they're going to miss their sister. She reminded them, I might not be here next time, but God will be here. And He'll make sure that you get all the way to where you need to go. Amen. He'll give you the strength that you need. He'll help you find the direction when it seems confusing. He'll protect you. You know, sometimes we feel like little children in the international airport of life, without our mother, without our daddy. Sometimes it's a little frightening, Brother Thumper, because we're not sure if we're going to arrive at the gate safely. But I have to tell you something. When you pass through the waters, they're not going to overflow you, because the Bible declares, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. And the Lord will never take you to a place that He does not precede you. And He will prepare a table before you. We are those who are protected. He said, I will go with you even unto the end of the world. He said in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's made a promise. And tonight, would you find comfort in knowing that nothing that comes into your life comes there apart from the sovereignty of God. And but what God is not aware and well able to deliver, well able to save. The Bible goes on and talks about the things that would take place, and there is a subtle innuendo through all of this that there is going to be a dispersion, a scattering of the people of God all over planet Earth. And certainly that was the case. And I want us to notice thirdly, that which is planned. That which is planned. Do you know what scattered Jews all over the globe? It was persecution. It was trouble. You say, why would a God who promised to protect allow those He promised to protect to suffer persecution? It seems like an oxymoron. It seems like doublespeak here. And yet I want you to understand the things that befell Israel and the things that will befall you are not intended for your hurt, but intended to mold you into the image of Jesus Christ. We quote so glibly at times Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. And we forget the remainder of those verses tell us that God is using all that befalls us to bring us into conformity with the image of His Son. And it is ultimately to a specific end. God has planned things in your life to bring you to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ, that apart from which you would never experience. Folks, I believe tonight that there are things that have befallen me that I would never have chosen for myself. That whilst I was going through them, I questioned whether God was my protector. And yet as I look back over those things, I recognize that they were planned by God to form in me that which would never be there apart from the trouble that God allowed in His sovereign plan. And while I went through it, I was in misery, and I didn't enjoy it. But as I look back over it, I thank God for it. Because I know that I was like Jacob, and the Lord wanted to call me by my name, Israel. But I had to see myself as Jacob before I could embrace my new name, Israel, Prince with God. It only came through that which was planned by God. And the Bible says in verse 7, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him, watch it, for my glory. You know why you have that problem? You know why you're going through that thing and it seems like the one who promised to protect is not keeping the promise? It's so that ultimately the Lord God may be glorified. Time would not permit us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But there it says, I believe in verse 17, that all things are for your sakes. All of the things that He has planned, all of the things that we don't enjoy and we're kind of mad about having to go through, it says all things are for your sakes. In other words, they're for your benefit, not for your detriment. They're to build you, not to break you. The Lord is building you up, molding you in His own image. All things are for your sakes. That the abundant grace, that's the protector who's giving you grace and peace in the midst of the storm. That the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the fact that when God has planned woe and trouble to beset your life, to cause you to look to the one who is powerful and recognize that He alone is the one who can protect you. When we're going through it and God gives us peace in the midst of the storm, and when He gives us His very presence to sustain us, and His grace is there to comfort our hearts in the very person of the Comforter of God, the Holy Spirit, and the world looks on, and the brethren look on, and they see what is happening, and they see the peace that you have. They recognize that that is a peace that can only come from God, and they see that God is producing something in you that they could only dream of, an intimacy with God that they could only hope for. And when they see, if they know that it comes from God and God alone, and He's the one that receives the glory and the honor and the power and the wisdom and the strength, and it leads you to say, praise and honor and glory be to God, because I have been created for His glory. And that which has been planned, though it may seem like trouble to me, is taking me through a time where I learn to depend upon Him. And when I do, I serve the purpose for which I have been created. And that is that I might glorify Him. And then lastly tonight, see this with me. In verse 4, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Lastly tonight, would you notice those that are precious? Do you realize how precious you are to God? Say, I'm having a hard time, preacher. I'm going through the paces here and I'm not enjoying it. And would you step back for a moment and remember this, that Hebrews says in chapter 12, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Say, why is all this happening to me? Because God loves you enough to allow it to come, to make you into what you could never be apart from this. You say, why? Because He loves you so much. You are precious to God. You matter to the Almighty. Sometimes people get bogged down in depression and despair, and they wonder if they matter to anyone. I told the men the night before last, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 14 that no man liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. You matter to somebody. But even if you think you don't, you matter to God. And if you were the only person on planet Earth that needed to be saved, He would have been crucified for you alone. He said, you're precious to me, and I have loved you. And I think about the many times that I've gone through trials, and the Lord was trying to show me how much He loved me, and I fought against it, and I resisted it, until finally I fell into His arms. I said, Lord, I can't do this alone. And He took me in His arms, and He said, son, you're precious to me. I called you Jacob in the storm. Israel, I love you. I love you. You matter to God. And don't ever let the devil lie to you and tell you you don't. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what Israel did. There's nothing that you could do that they did not do to God. And yet He said, Thou wast precious in my sight. I have loved thee. And that's just how God feels toward you. And maybe tonight is the night you need to stop fighting and kicking and resisting that which is planned. And begin to fall into the arms of the one who sees you as precious, so that you can fulfill the purpose of his plan. He said, "Thou art mine. You're mine." The other day I stepped out of the bedroom and Linda was there. She looked me over and she said, "You're my man." And I can't tell you the comfort it brought to my heart just to hear her say it. And the Lord has looked you over and he said, "You know what? Thou art mine." Would to God that would comfort our hearts more than the words of any mortal man. Praise the Lord that he's got a purpose through it all. Lord, tonight we are so thankful for this service. How you've worked in our hearts. Lord, tonight we confess that there are times that we've fought against your working. And Lord, we've resisted you. And yet you've been persistent with us because we are precious in your sight. You have loved us. Lord, I pray you continue to work in our hearts. Our heads are bowed tonight. Perhaps God is working in your heart and you'd say, "You know, I've been fighting against some things that I know God may have planned. Tonight I want to submit because I know I'm precious to God and I want to serve the purpose of his plan." And God's working in your heart. Right now I want you to just step out from where you are and come to the front and just kneel. I want to have a word of prayer with you. Would you come? Say, "I'm going to stop fighting tonight. I know I'm God's. I want to submit to the purpose that God has."